Chris Ramby Show on ScoopsAtDannyMac.com. It is the Thursday, January 21st, 2021 edition of the program. Happy to talk a little football with you today. Of course, the AFC-NFC Championship games are this weekend. We're going to do that with Davis Maddock in just a moment. Don't want to forget to remind you to subscribe to the Scoops with Danny Mac podcast wherever you listen to podcasts, iTunes, Stitcher, Spotify. Head on over, subscribe. Leave a review, take a screenshot, and send it to me. You can tweet me at C-H-R-A-B-E, C-H-R-A-B-E. You can also send me an email, chris@scoopswithdannymac.com. So some football today, some more football tomorrow as we get set for what should be a fantastic Sunday. The Packers and Bucks in Green Bay and the Chiefs hosting the Bills in the AFC Championship in Kansas City. All right, let's welcome in Davis Maddock to the show from SportsGrid, DailyRoto.com, the TakeCast. Follow him on Twitter at Davis Maddock. Davis, what's going on, man? Happy almost championship weekend, which I think is maybe a little bittersweet because as the football gets better as we move along, like we reach a certain point of the bell curve, I guess, when I start thinking about how close we are to having to wait until football starts again. Does that happen to you, man?
No, you know, because football is my full-time job. So I at this point of the season, you know, I love football, right? And I'm sad when it's not on TV. I love to watch football, but like the, you know, just that mental recuperation period from, you know, February, from the end of the Super Bowl to like March 15th, when you have to really start grinding, draft stuff. Honestly, it is pretty great. I do need that mental break for sure.
Yeah. I'll tell you, like for the last 7 years, I've hosted, St. Louis Cardinals pregame and postgame shows. And there's something about like the month or so after the World Series until like the off season gets really cooking. And of course, everything's different right now for every sport, but there's something about that little reset, which is nice. And the NFL is a completely different beast where, you know, everything has become kind of a made for TV, a made for social media, a made for coverage event, even outside the games.
Yeah, everything about the NFL. I mean, they, you know, we aren't going to have the combine this year, but they're going to find a way to, you know, market the pro days, basically. Like it is every part of the NFL is truly insane. I mean, there's no other way to say it. It is insane to care about the, you know, the athletic testing for these NFL players. But, you know, we do. And I certainly would not have it any other way.
Davis Maddock is with us as we get ready for what will be a big weekend, the NFC Championship and the AFC Championship in that order on Sunday. I guess let's start in Green Bay, Davis, and just first overall impressions, I guess, of this game for most people. The quarterbacks, obviously, Brady versus Rodgers. But as the week has gone on, what's the most intriguing aspect of this matchup for you, man?
I think the most interesting aspect is, you know, basically what happens when the Packers get pushed a little bit, because we saw this with them last year as well. They beat really bad teams, like basically without sweating. They basically did the same thing this year. But what happens if the Buccaneers, you know, are running a little bit hot and they end up getting up 10 points, right? What happens if Rodgers has to push it down the field a little bit? You know, what happens if they can't rotate the three running backs and they just have to keep Aaron Jones in there? And then, you know, also there's the old man Brady stuff, like, you know, literally this, you think about that, like 43-year-old dude out there in the frozen tundra. That's not the environment he wants to be in. You know, what happens if they have to rely on him chucking the ball to come back, you know, kind of similar to that game against Kansas City where they were not able to get there. But really, I think that of the two games, this game is more likely to produce an upset, basically. And maybe I'm wrong, right? I've been wrong many times before. I will continue to be wrong many times in my life. But I do think that this game does seem a little bit more ripe for an upset.
Yeah, it seems like the Bucks, and this is maybe completely anecdotal, which I usually try to avoid, but it seems like the Bucks haven't really put together their best game or a couple of their best games consecutively.
Yeah, and I mean, I think you could maybe even say the Buccaneers' best game this year. Well, obviously it was the Detroit Lions game, right? But then maybe you could even say their best game was actually against the Packers in week 5, 38-10 win, gained 324 yards on offense, gave up only 201 yards on defense. But yeah, I mean, even that crushing win against the Falcons the week before that, they play or against the Lions, they played the Falcons pretty close, you know, 31-27. They lost that game to the Chiefs. They lost to the Rams. They had that embarrassing New Orleans Saints loss. So, you know, I think you're right. I think this is really just been a team that has struggled to stay consistent over the course of the season, for sure.
You know, it's pretty amazing. Todd Bowles, I thought, had a really good game plan defensively for that first game against the Packers. And he's kind of a perfect example, Davis, maybe, of the NFL and the fact that some guys are really, really, really good coordinators. And then it's really hard to be a head coach. Granted, he didn't maybe have the most talented Jets team, but Todd Bowles may be one of those guys. And we still see NFL teams kind of giving guys shots, whether they have been a head coach before, then back to being a great coordinator, then get another shot as a head coach. Like, some guys are just really good coordinators. Do you think it's as simple as that?
Yeah, I mean, some guys really understand football. They really understand their side of the game, but they, you know, a lot of guys don't have the game theory sense, right? We see this all the time. Just, you know, coaches don't know when to punt. They don't know when to go for two. Like, they don't understand those elements of football at all. I mean, that literally happens all the time. Some guys just don't know how to handle a team. They don't know how to motivate. They don't know how to, you know, talk with the players. I think we see that with Adam Gase, where certainly he knows a lot about football, but it just seems like can you think of one player that's ever had anything nice to say about him? And I think
Jay Cutler, they had a weird bromance going on. I'm a Bears fan.
There we go. Cutler had something nice to say.
And then he followed into Miami and things did not go well.
Yeah. So, yeah, it could be that with Todd Bowles. It could just be they have a lot of really good players on that defense, right? They have a bunch of all-pro quality guys. They're going to be getting Vita Vea back this weekend. It could be as simple as that. I mean, first, for example, I think Bruce Arians is the worst coach of the four coaches left. I think he makes at least two mistakes every single game in terms of preventing his team from making winning decisions. But he's got Tom Brady, he's got Mike Evans, he's got Chris Godwin, he's got Antonio Brown, he's got Rob Gronkowski. So they can just win games like that. And, you know, it doesn't necessarily matter, because having great players gives you – you can slip up more when you have great players, basically.
Yeah, Matt LaFleur obviously has Aaron Rodgers, but he's an example of a coordinator who so far has looked pretty good as a head coach. What do you like about what the Packers have been able to do offensively this year?
Well, obviously the thing they do the best is they complete passes way above expectation, right? Like, Aaron Rodgers all year led the NFL in completed passes over expectation. And that's even including, you know, Marquez Valdes-Scantling leading the NFL in drops and crap like that. So I think they have dialed up just a bunch of really intelligent routes. I think they know exactly what Davante Adams and Aaron Rodgers are capable of, and they basically just let him go to work. Like, I think essentially LaFleur just lets Aaron Rodgers stay in his comfort zone, and I think that's really strong. I also think they do a good job, you know, not getting bogged down running the ball. You know, they're not a team that runs the ball on second and 10. They know to get the ball out and to be constantly trying to play from ahead, because, you know, playing from ahead really is the biggest advantage in the NFL, because it just allows you to do so much more than your opponents. It allows play action to stay. You know, it is just by far, I think, one of the biggest advantages that doesn't get talked about kind of on a national level. And I think they're really good at that.
Davis Maddock is with us as we get ready for the games this weekend. Let's head to Kansas City and talk a little bit about the Chiefs and the Buffalo Bills. And I guess first thing, what is the line and what does the movement, or maybe lack of movement, here in the last day or so, Davis, tell you about Patrick Mahomes and his status as we tape this right now, and as people listen to this on Thursday afternoon? The Chiefs about 3-point favorites.
Yeah, I mean, I think the line as it exists basically says, you know, Patrick Mahomes is going to be there on Sunday. I think that, you know, if it was Chad Henne, I think the line would probably be more like Bills by 5 or something like that.
That's crazy.
But on the other hand, maybe it says that they're not fully confident because, again, these are another two teams that played each other in the regular season, and the Chiefs blew them out. You know, that game really was not competitive. That was all the way back in week 6. The Bills scored 17 points, but they gained only 206 yards on offense. Josh Allen, that was basically the worst Josh Allen game of the year. I mean, he looks terrible in that game. One of the things I wonder about this game is, you know, what happens to the Bills offense if they get down 10? You know, does some of the play action stuff go away? Is it harder for them to throw deep when they're, you know, needing to move the chains? Like, it's a little bit harder, I think, for them to play freely, if that makes sense. You know, play kind of that joyful football, really, that they have been playing this year. But I think this game is more likely to me to be entertaining. Like, both teams are putting up a bunch of points and trading haymakers. So I'm very much looking forward to this game.
Yeah, I am too. And I would ask if the Bills aren't getting enough credit, but it seems like with Mahomes playing, if we use that assumption, Davis in Kansas City, that is a good amount of respect for the Bills, I guess.
Yeah, I think they're getting more respect than I would have given them. For example, you know, if I was booking this line, I don't think I would have given them this much respect. I actually bet this line right when the odds came out last Sunday, assuming that the line would move over the course of the week as we got news with Patrick Mahomes, and the line has not moved. You know, the line has just stayed steady right where it was. And I think the Chiefs should be favored by a little bit more. I do think they are the superior team. And I think some of the things that people get bogged down in, you know, namely that their offense or their defense is not really that strong and stuff like that. I mean, those are kind of the things that end up coming out in the wash when your quarterback is the best player maybe ever in the history of the league.
What has to go right for the Bills for them to not just have a shot, but for them to be in really, really good position in this game? Because we've seen that it really doesn't matter where the Chiefs play from, Davis, especially over the last couple of years and in the postseason the last couple of years. It can turn around in an absolute instant. So for the Bills, what's the roadmap for them to be leaving Kansas City as AFC champions?
So I think it's definitely no turnovers, right? Maybe one turnover, maybe you can get away with, but multiple turnovers, I think there's no way that they're able to get away with that. I think another huge thing is going to be being super aggressive on fourth downs, being super aggressive on, you know, third and short, like basically treating almost every situation once you get past like the 40 as, you know, kind of like go for it territory, like four down territory. Like I don't think that they should be punting very often. I don't think that field goals are going to help them out very much. If they're kicking field goals on like fourth and three, I think that's pretty much a sign that all they want is a close loss, because I don't think that really is going to do much of anything for them.
Yeah, we've got, you know, teams in the Packers and Chiefs who have been aggressive, and you mentioned LaFleur's play calling. Do you think football's getting better, and do you think as someone who analyzes the game and as someone who watches the game maybe and appreciates some of the innovation, or I shouldn't even say innovation, it's just using reason sometimes and numbers, but do you think football as a whole, the industry, is getting better and sometimes not punting, or when we bang our heads against the wall? I know it's happened a couple times during the playoffs, or not kicking a field goal when you really shouldn't. Are you encouraged at all with what we saw this year in the last couple of years?
I am encouraged that some teams get it, right? You know, I think we see the Ravens understand
some teams get it sometimes.
Yeah, yeah. And I think we see the Chiefs the Chiefs went for it on fourth and one from midfield with their backup quarterback to win a game, right? Like, that's probably, I think Andy Reid makes that call. Maybe you see Harbaugh make that call, right? You know, I think that's a situation where I don't imagine that very many other coaches are going to be making that call. So I get a little bit encouraged, and then I see stuff like the press conference that Dan Campbell had today for the Lions. And he doesn't say anything about, you know, we're going to do this on offense, we're going to do this in a different way. He doesn't say anything about his plan to, you know, find a quarterback or do something different, you know, how they're going to win games. None of it. It's just all football guy crap, right? About being
every cliche. Yeah.
Yeah, about
bring your lunch pail. Yeah.
Yeah. And it's like, if that's what the guys who are doing the hiring decisions want, you know, then it'll never change. Then these guys will never really get a chance, because these are the guys who are making the decisions to hire people, and they're hearing this just total trifle, this nothing talk, and they're like, oh, that's what we want in a head coach, which, you know, doesn't make much sense to me.
Is the Lions tweet real, that the nameplate outside his office says Dan Campbell head coach / the dude?
I guess.
Did you see this?
I guess it seems real, but it just seems like one of those things, like, literally, what is the point of this? Like, this is so stupid. This is so, I don't know. I don't really understand how NFL teams are run from the context of, you know, they want these teams to win games. But I guess really at the end of the day, they don't really care if the teams win games. You know, the people hiring,
money.
They just want to make money. That's all they want. They just want to make money. And, you know, I guess if that's all you want, it doesn't really matter. If your head coach is a stooge, you know, it's just like, whatever, I guess, make whatever decisions you want.
Again, as a Bears fan, it's a little frustrating. I know exactly what you're saying, and they sat up there last week and said that, you know, retaining their general manager Ryan Pace and their head coach Matt Nagy had nothing to do with money and the lack of revenue from a fan perspective coming in, that they really feel like it gives them the best chance to win. And I like to think that fans at this point and in this day and age are smarter than that. So the fact that some franchises keep getting away with it and aren't competitive, and they know that they're getting the revenue sharing checks, is something that I'm afraid is going to continue to happen.
Yeah, I mean, it's just a bummer, right? Like, that's really all you can say, is that it's just a bummer that because it should be considered a once in a lifetime generational thing to be able to own an NFL team, and it's not, because the people who own them don't care. They just run them like a business, and because the business is so profitable, they don't even have to do a good job to make money.
Give Davis a follow on Twitter. It's the best way to follow everything he's doing, at Davis Matic, MATTEK. All right, before I let you go, man, what matchup right now, as we sit here, do you think we end up with when the dust settles this weekend?
I do. You know what? I think we will get a Chiefs Buccaneers Super Bowl, and I think it'll be a great Super Bowl.
That'll be fun.
Yeah, very fun. Very excited.
Davis, enjoy the weekend, brother. Appreciate you hopping on, man. We'll talk soon.
Hey, thanks so much for having me.